From the Midas of Roseburg studio, KQEN weather forecast today. Showers later today, a high near 52 degrees expected. Then tonight, showers continuing and a low down to about 41. By Wednesday, showers and 48 degrees. Thanksgiving Day, partly sunny and a high near 52. And Friday, mostly sunny, but that high only up to about 44. 52 degrees now. KQEN news time is 12:35.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. We're going to talk about housing options in the city of Roseburg, and it really applies to the surrounding area as well. Eric Johnson is the communication specialist for the city of Roseburg. Eric, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Now, this morning, the city put out a release that caught my attention about looking at improving housing options in the area. And I guess, first off, what led to this effort? What kind of steps are beginning to be taken in this area?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So back in 2019, the city had a housing needs analysis done in early 2019. We hired a consultant to look at our current housing inventory and make some projections and give us a report on what our housing situation is currently and where we need to be to keep up with that. And what we found from that was that Roseburg, the city itself, is growing at a considerable rate. In the next 20 years, our population is projected to grow by over 18%. That's 5,500 new people moving to Roseburg. And so the first question from us is, where are we going to put all these people? Where are these people going to live? So I know that, you know, folks have talked anecdotally out in the community about, you know, housing being a difficult thing to find here in this community. So that was really kind of the starting point for us. And since then, we've been working with city council, city leadership to come up with some solutions that are smart, equitable, and make sense for us to take steps to meeting those housing demands.
It seems like ever since the Great Recession, where housing just stopped and hit a brick wall for quite a while, all over the country and particularly in this area, it seems as we've come out of that in the last decade, so many places increasingly are facing a shortage of middle-class housing. Doesn't matter if you're a big city, doesn't matter if you're a small town. And certainly around here, at the same time, we're dealing with a couple of other situations that are influencing factors. Right now, we've got the near record low interest rates. That's driving some people to want to purchase homes who maybe hadn't really thought of themselves as being able to do that before. We also have the factor of, given COVID-19, a number of people coming up from California and other places, but particularly Orange County, to come to the Umpqua Valley, where they will continue to work remotely for companies in Los Angeles and companies all over the world, keep bumping into people where that applies. We also have, for the midterm, for a couple of years, people who lost homes in the recent wildfires that are trying to find a place to live until they can rebuild out east of Glide. So, I mean, all those factors have really exacerbated the situation, and we're seeing the prices of homes go up substantially, several percentage points really just in the last month around here. So whatever price point people are interested in landing at, it seems like this is getting a lot of talk in the community.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And just to, echo some of the things that you said there, it's housing is such a multifaceted, extremely complicated situation that has had, you know, there's been lots of different factors that have gone into it, like with the economy, the recent wildfires, COVID-19, and just prices. You know, we've seen over the past 30 years that, you know, wages have remained stagnant mostly, and the cost of housing has skyrocketed. You know, like you had mentioned, you know, interest rates are really low right now. You know, that's because it's a seller's market right now. So people are selling their homes for the highest price, and what that does is that it makes affordable housing less attainable for folks. And, you know, whether you're in Roseburg, Portland, Salem, Eugene, or, you know, anywhere across the country, we understand that this is a national issue. So some of the things that we're doing here locally at the city is trying to see what things can we do at the city level to move that needle a little bit further and try to create a situation where developers are incentivized to build affordable housing options. And so these code changes, talking about middle housing specifically, are going to go to address that and hopefully create more affordable housing options for future residents and for current residents too.
Now, oftentimes it's been the bigger cities where we've seen duplexes, triplexes, townhomes, clusters of cottages, things like that. But with these options out there and with the prices continuing to go up, I know the city got a grant recently from Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development to work in pursuing some of these code changes. I guess maybe for some folks, just to make sure we're clear, how would you define middle housing?
Yeah, so middle housing, it's defined as types of housing that meet the needs of lower income households that are also more affordable. So classic examples are duplexes, townhomes, you mentioned cottage clusters and triplexes. Those are some of the common examples. And like you had mentioned, those are typically in larger cities you tend to find those. So it's actually quite interesting. The State Department of Land Conservation and Development, they have different designations for cities across the state, and it's based on population. So Roseburg's population is, I can't remember the number specifically, but it's somewhere in the 24,000 range. So we're actually designated now a medium-sized city. But as you know, our population is set to grow over time. Well, once we get over 25,000, then the state considers us a large city. And so when you're a large city, that opens up the menu to allow you to start offering more options such as triplexes, townhomes, cottage clusters, and things of that nature. So we know that the city is growing. We're going to hit that 25,000 threshold where we can start to offer more options that are affordable and sensible for people.
Now, there's so many things involved in the process, and I know as of a couple of years ago, maybe 3 years ago, one of the issues was buildable lands in flat areas of the city. A lot, it seems, of the current development is sort of going into the hills a bit or elevated where you have more development costs and more goes into building a home. So I know at times there's been a look at the urban growth boundary. Do you expand? All of that. All of that usually brings in a lot of controversy depending on where people come down. And in the past, early in the 2000s, Roseburg was forecast to see a big increase. That didn't happen because then people were immigrating to the big cities. Millennials wanted the big cities. But now it seems like we're seeing a shift back. And certainly the numbers you mentioned seem quite likely, if not maybe even a little low, as to compared to where we could end up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I myself am a millennial, so I'm definitely one of those folks where, you know, the allure of the big city is not for me. You know, I much rather prefer the small town life. And so I know for a fact that there's definitely more folks like myself that are attracted to cities like Roseburg that are smaller and have a much more community feel, and they're also less expensive to move to. And with, as you mentioned, working remotely becoming more and more of a reality, as you know, employers that are down in big cities in California are starting to do more and more of, it doesn't really matter where exactly you live as long as you have a high-speed internet connection, you're good to go. So for all those factors, it's definitely going to play a role in the housing demand for Roseburg in the future. So it'll be really interesting to see in the next few years, you know, how that changes.
And talking to one of the realtors in town a few weeks ago, one of the things he mentioned was Wi-Fi internet service, something the folks from California, if they're working remotely, they've got to have a certain level of. Sometimes that impacts whether they're in the city, out in the rural areas. You've got a lot of hills. That affects things. So a lot of infrastructure issues to look at as well. We're also seeing things like, and I can't remember the specific name of the, it might have been the whole state, it might have been the state of Oklahoma, or at least a community in Oklahoma, that was actually had gone to the point of this year offering new long-term residents who come to work remotely actually a $10,000 bonus if they would live in the community for a year. I mean, there's a lot of ideas out there that rural America is looking at an opportunity to be reinvigorated.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think, you know, from the city's perspective, say, for instance, since we're talking about, you know, incentives, offering tax incentives to folks, I know that's been very successful with the Diamond Lake Urban Renewal District with the SDC buy-downs. You know, that has been, that tax incentive has generated a lot of interest from developers. And as you can see, you know, we've got the new apartment complexes going on Pomona, the NeighborWorks complex down on Douglas Avenue. There's going to be some new apartments going up near Sunshine Park. So, yeah, offering tax incentives and you know, getting creative with ways to attract people to the city is definitely, definitely an option worth exploring.
Got to take a break. Back with more. Eric Johnson, communication specialist for the city of Roseburg, talking about housing and options in the area. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247, back in 2 minutes on News Radio 1240 KQEN. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1 on tomorrow's program. Lisa Platt, the Executive Director of the Mercy Foundation. We'll talk about the Festival of Trees, like everything else, being done just a little differently this year. And we'll talk more about the work of the Mercy Foundation. Eric Johnson with us, communications specialist for the city of Roseburg, talking about the city taking steps to increase housing options. One of the things in this conversation, when you talk about making code changes and changing what's allowed in different sections of the city, sometimes those who own single-family homes may pop up and wonder about whether or not they want some of these other options around them. Do you want a neighborhood that has a lot of city single-family homes and then the occasional duplex? I mean, there's a lot of issues here that are probably going to have to be sorted out with a lot of public input.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, as we go through this process with the SAC committee, who's in charge of helping guide us with the code changes, we want to make sure that we do get lots of public input. And with that being said, we're going to be hosting a virtual open house on Tuesday, December 8th. It's going to be on Facebook Live on the city's Facebook page. It's from, I believe, it's going to be in the evening sometime. I don't have the time right in front of me, but if you go to the city's website or go to our Facebook page, you'll learn more about it. And that's the public's opportunity to give us input and tell us if they support some of these code changes or if they think that maybe we should revisit some of them.
And that meeting, 6:30 to 8:00, just taking a glance there on that. You mentioned the committee. Talk about the stakeholder advisory committee. What areas, what arenas of the city are you pulling input from for that group, and what have they been tasked with?
Yeah, so we've held one meeting so far, and it was back in October. And really, the first meeting was to audit our current code and see, take a look at House Bill 2001 and then compare it to what we have currently in regards to middle housing and seeing, you know, what areas need improving and what areas are currently in compliance. And so really, the committee was tasked with taking a fine-tooth comb, if you will, and just kind of looking through everything there. So that was the first meeting, and then we will be meeting again in January to discuss next steps and also to review the feedback that we got from the open house in December.
So what areas are the folks on this committee coming from? What kind of experience do they bring to the table?
I believe we have some folks there from different housing organizations, home builders associations, developers, people there in the real estate industry. So we've got a good swath of different professionals that are giving us our feedback on the process. And so far, it's been a good experience. And city staff has been there, the community development department, really guiding the conversation and making sure that what we do come up with is fair and is also compliant with the new state law.
And watching development around Oregon, well, really my entire adult life, one of the things to keep in mind sometimes, you talk about an increase of maybe 18% in 20 years. To some people, that seems like a lot. But we've seen places in Oregon, like Redmond, for instance, Bend, places like that, where they get that kind of growth level in maybe 5 years, maybe less sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, it's always relative. You know, you see other communities that are obviously growing much faster, but then there's also other communities that are growing at a much slower pace. So, so that does seem like a relatively large amount of time. But again, we got to remember, we got to put things in perspective. That's over the course of 20 years. So that averages out to just under 1% growth a year. So not to talk that down, but it's definitely something that we need to keep our eyes on and make sure that we're on track to meet that housing demand.
And as well, because of just the topography of the area, with all the hills and the river in the middle and things like that, Roseburg takes up a lot of space for the number of people here versus, a flat Corvallis-sized community where you don't have hills and things like that. And so that brings in, you know, the urban growth question and probably things like that that are going to have to be looked at further here.
Yeah, exactly. So that leads to much broader conversations is, you know, do we consider expanding the urban growth boundary? What does that look like? Where do we do that? Do we consider things like annexation or do we just look at our current inventory and see if there's areas that could be improved upon? There's lots of different questions that that come out of this topic alone. So more to be discussed, of course, in the future. But for the time being, we're just taking some small steps right now to make sure that we can meet the housing demand that we're going to have to fill in the next 20 years.
And we're even seeing current and very recent development with housing options in the downtown area. There's so much real estate downtown where you've got the bottom floor used and floors above that have been vacant sometimes for decades and decades. And now we're starting to see some of the buildings where folks are taking that former space that just has been just a wide open space and, you know, studio apartments and a lot of different options. One more way to look at housing for folks in the area.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a great example of just looking at our current inventory of, you know, what could be housing and getting a little creative with it. You know, we have some folks, I believe, what's his name, Magnus Johansson, is currently doing something down in that historic building downtown. We have a bunch of different developers that are, you know, coming into the area that are, you know, putting their thinking caps on and you know, looking at a situation and saying, hey, you know, what can we do here as far as housing folks?
And about a minute left on Inside Douglas County. Run through the information about the upcoming virtual meeting for the community to give some input. Talk to folks about that again.
Yeah, exactly. So, we want public feedback from folks. This is, you know, this is an important process that we're going through in regards to housing, specifically middle housing options. So we're going to be doing an open house. It's going to be held virtually on our Facebook channel. So if you just go to facebook.com and then type in City of Roseburg, you'll find our profile. It'll be happening on Facebook Live from 6 to 8:30 on Tuesday, December 8th. And folks can just ask their questions via the comment section, and then we will just answer them in real time. And for folks that want to learn more about the project specifically, they can go to the city's website, cityofroseburg.org, and then we have a special projects page under the Community Development Department where they can look at meeting agendas and such.
All right. Eric Johnson, Communications Specialist for the City of Roseburg. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
All right. Thank you so much, Kyle.
1257 and News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.